the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Good afternoon to you. It's a time for the 311 Radio Show. I'm Dennis here with you. Let us introduce you to the crew for the 311 Radio Show today. I see the Fire and Life Safety Officer, Jason Collins, that we're accustomed to. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hi, good afternoon, Barbados.
And I see a new face. You are?
I am Fire and Life Safety Officer Sobers, known to everyone as 328 Sobers, sir.
328 Sober Sir, good afternoon to you and welcome to the 311 Radio Show. Missing, of course, is Livewire. Natasha, good afternoon to you. Wherever you are, I guess you're enjoying Sunday lunch and taking care of the children, which is what we'll be focusing on this afternoon, basically. Right, guys?
That is correct. Right, we actually, we thought that as school has come to a premature closure, an early vacation, basically, we thought it fit in to touch on a little safety as it relates to the little ones as they're going to be home on vacation and, idle hands, what happened? So,
not just idle hands, it's plenty hands delving into everything they could possibly do.
So, just to make sure that we have, that everybody goes back to school who came off on vacation, in the wake of every other thing that is going on. We also, from our end, the fire safety perspective, we just thought that it would be necessary to, just touch a bit on fire safety as it relates to the children at this time. Is also the kite flying season and that kind of stuff. And if you're going to be, what's the word they're using now? Social distancing.
Social distancing.
Right, so if you're going to be socially distancing, it'd probably be better fly a kite somewhere away from everybody else. So that in itself may have created danger in terms of the power lines and that kind of stuff. So that's what the kind of stuff you're looking to touch on this afternoon.
Once upon a time, when we talk about children running around the home and being careful, we say don't play with matches, stay away from open flame, and make sure the curtain don't get in the fire. But today, of course, there are lots more children with electrical and other things that could cause some harm to the
technology
young
ones. Era.
Yeah. So definitely. What are some of the things we would, and let's try to do it step by step, because we have from, the 5-6-year-olds running around the home to the 16-year-olds who sometimes behave like 6-year-olds.
But
we won't talk about them like that on this Sunday afternoon. So let's start with some of the steps that we can take to ensure that we're safe, our home safe, and of course, our children are safe too.
Yes, but as you just said, one of the most important and common fire safety tips that we give out is to encourage children to not never ever play with matches or lighters. Mm-hmm. Because especially now when you get bored or you don't have anything to do,
you sit down and flick, do stupid things.
Exactly.
Like you said, many mind goals either, everything else. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So encourage them to never ever play with matches or lighters. And if you see them, don't touch them. You go and tell a grown up or tell mom, dad, you left the lighters out. And encourage the adults as well. When you finish using lighters or the matches, put them at a good height or a distance that the children cannot reach.
Before you go further, right, let me say to you that I was speaking to a parent who said that there are times that they're in the room and they hear bumping going on in the kitchen and they go and they wonder, how did the child get there? Because they've clanged on the counter and they're all up in the counter. So they know when you put it up high, how to get at it, okay? So we got to start thinking now how to put it somewhere where, it's really safe.
Yes. Actually, what that comes back to, as you rightly said, sometimes you miss each other and they're somewhere. Mm-hmm. The thing about it, that comes out to vigilance. You need to keep, especially when you have those little ones, the 5 and 6 year olds and so on, you need to keep your eye on them as often as possible.
Yeah, because they want as to you what miss you them doing, for they go to a stir minute. The pot. Yeah. They climb up and try to see what you're doing.
Exactly. So you need, that's the first responsibility. Mm-hmm. Before we even talk anything fire safety related, we need to, as adults, be very vigilant and keep our eyes on the little ones all the time. Mm-hmm. If you have a 15, 16 year old, you would expect their mature level to be a little
more responsible
and so on. Mm-hmm. So you would, but you still got to keep an eye because your children still, but not to the extent that he would think you would need to keep an eye on a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, etc.
I have to say this to you guys as well. Every once in a while when I read stories in the newspaper about fires, or especially fires, you hear the comment, but I didn't leave anything on, or I didn't go too far, which leads me to believe that sometimes we think it's all right, to put something on the stove and go outside to, you know, fix something or hang out
outside is too far.
Or do something.
Mm-hmm. Outside is too far. Because okay. what we don't understand, right, and I'm sure each and every one of us in this room could attest to it. You're doing something, mm-hmm. whether it be on the stove or otherwise, you're doing something. Right. And you said, well, while that is doing, I'm going to do something else.
Right.
You completely forget that first thing you started doing. It happens right. to every one of us at some point of our lives.
Correct.
So you will say, man, I got on the stove, I can go outside and hang out these clothes.
Right.
But you go outside and hang out the clothes, hang up. Right. And while you're hanging out the clothes, the neighbor passed. And a conversation started. We started talking Corona. You know what I mean?
And we know how that goes.
So, I mean, yeah. this is reality. You know, we may sound like we're laughing, but that's the reality.
Or you
so,
see something on the car and you decide you're going to wipe it off.
Precisely. Precisely. So, you can always be sidetracked. It is best to, and you're dealing with the stove or the iron, deal with that. Because it's very easy. It is very easy to be sidetracked. It's very easy.
What are some of the other things we look out for?
I find too. No, let me just say, in early, mm-hmm. sometimes I start talking really fast. So in event, I start talking fast. Just
we
say
will
fire,
slow you down, right?
Just say fire, and
you'll slow down.
That's my cue. All right.
Okay. But, so usually when we say fire, we run. When we say fire, you slow down. Good guy to know.
I slow down.
One of the again cautions for children, because they want to be a part of what we do. Definitely. We encourage us, you know, as parents,
because that's how they learn.
Yeah. Correct. So if we preparing food, we keep them around us. If we ironing clothes, but they do things. They pull at the wires.
One of the things, and I know Ford, and in the earlier times, Prescott would have mentioned it on this program. Take the mystery out of fire. Take the mystery out of whatever you're doing. I mean, mm-hmm. you're cooking. Mm-hmm. Obviously, children want to see. They want to know why. Because the reason you pull up. We all in here, guys. Mm-hmm. We used to pull out stuff and play with stuff and
of
pick
course,
down stuff.
And push,
because
push
we need to know. We need to know how this works. Come why on. Is this doing what it is doing?
Right.
And all children are like that. And children are even different. It's no longer a boy thing. Everybody. All children, they're curious. Mm-hmm. They're born in the technology era. Mm-hmm. So they're curious about everything. So instead of them having to pray to find out, let us tell them. These are matches. This is what happens. This is. Fire, it will burn. Or explain everything. Don't hide it from them. Mm-hmm. When you're cooking, you explain what you're doing to them so that they understand, okay, what they're learning the art, mm-hmm. and at the same time, they're learning the dangers and the what to and what not to do as you go on. So the more you take the mystery out of it, the less likely they are to pray and try to on their own.
Experimenting with, you talk about technology a lot. Hot laptops, tablets, mm-hmm. cell phones. There are times that I know you shouldn't keep your cell phone in your pocket, but there are times when my cell phone is in my pocket and I can actually feel the heat from the phone, especially when it's charging. I can pick it up and feel it.
Really, right.
Are those danger areas for us? Are those areas that we have to be careful and look out for, especially now?
Definitely. I find as fire and life safety officers, when we go into, let's say we go to businesses to do inspections or pre-assessment. Mm-hmm. I find almost every time you go in a room, someone has a charger plugged in mm-hmm. and it's not charging anything.
Anything, correct.
So it's left there and all that time it's building heat because electricity is still flowing through it.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So even children, if they're saying that at home, but mommy doing this, daddy doing this, even when we do brownies, you hear, oh, but my mommy does do that, and my granny does do that. So they see it. So we have to practice what we expect of our children and what we're
correct.
Teaching them.
We got to lead by
so
example.
So maybe finish, release our phone, reach 100%, mm-hmm. unplug the phone from the wall socket, and then unplug it.
Brings me to the other thing, the way we plug and unplug, because we just hold and tug the wire. There are lots of frayed wires hanging around the place, guys.
In fact, what you just said in terms of holding the wire and pulling, mm-hmm. that will encourage frayed wiring. You guys who deal with the equipment here will know. You're not going to disconnect a microphone cable by pulling the cable. Because you're going to damage the final wires on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that works the same for chargers. Some people you see with a charger that
should not be plugged into anything.
That should be thrown away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are things that we do day to day. And people feel, oh, the phone is charged, so it's not a big deal. But all of these little things over time, because it doesn't happen today, doesn't mean it's not going to happen next week or the week after or a year later. You know, you plug this phone with a free charger and you leave it on the bed.
Yeah,
and you go to
and we put it on the carpet or whatever, exactly. and we leave it there to charge.
And the reality about it, in most households, is that the curtain always comes down over
right
or
over
very
plug.
Near
a plug. Plug. Yeah.
It is almost always,
the brightest
so
and prettiest.
Like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
It is something we really need to take seriously, mm-hmm. because not only in the, because we speak on the cell phone and tablet, but mm-hmm. laptops on the bed. You know, everybody likes that, because it's comfortable. You're watching your favorite series. Yeah. You're laid on the bed, laptop on the bed, no cooling fan.
And you leave it, you go and take a shower, you go make a sandwich and come back.
And the same thing I said earlier, where you're sidetracked by some form or fashion, mm-hmm. and that is on that bed. Actually, there's some people who don't even unplug their laptop. So there's on the entirety on that bed, no air gets into the inner thing to cool it, because you have it on the bed. You don't mm-hmm. have it on a piece of board. Mm-hmm. You don't have it on a proper cooling fan. Mm-hmm. So it continues to build up heat. Nothing happens. So you say, okay, it's fine. But
then it happens.
A year later, 2 years, whatever the case may be, something happens. So there's some
I would encourage any person who has a laptop, so just take a laptop, put it directly on your lap, and use it for 5 to 10 minutes.
Correct.
And tell me what happens.
You press your pants or your leg.
Exactly. Here you go. So the same thing when you put it on the mattress or something and you drop asleep and the laptop is there watching you. All that time the heat is going.
Correct.
That's how fire start. So you have to be cautious.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, what he's saying there to me, what we are saying for the entire program so far, I always tell people the basic things that we take for granted make the difference between life and death, make the difference between saving your property and losing it. All these, they seem basic, they seem cliche in some cases, mm-hmm. but I always say, you know, people will say, oh, they talk about it already, it's cliche and whatever, but yet we still have a house first. So it means that everything isn't perfect, because we still having, people still making mistakes, basically. And all it really is a mistake. Sometimes a lapse in concentration, a unguarded moment causes catastrophe in most cases. Most accidents can be avoided, you know. Well, actually, now to add to what we've been talking about, I know we're speaking about the children being home and so on. I am seeing some very disturbing videos that have been circulating on the internet within the last couple of days, actually. Where children, and when I'm saying children, I'm not speaking of 4 or 5 year olds. I'm talking about children who I expect to be more mature, children who I would expect should know better. We're talking 15, 16, maybe in that age range, children who are using lighters and matches and accelerants such as the spray cans. And I saw one using something in a bowl. I'm not sure if it was sanitizer or whatever have you, and lighting it. And it was really disturbing to me when I saw those videos. I do not know if all of them are here in Barbados, but I can tell you for sure there's one in particular that I saw that is definitely from Barbados, because the vernacular in the background was definitely Barbadian. But on very serious note, it is an extremely dangerous practice, and I would like to, at this point, say to those parents who are home with these children, well, whether you're home or not, but you need, as parents, as adults, parent or otherwise, as adults, to be very mindful of what your children are doing, to keep a serious eye on them. I know I mentioned that you have to keep an eye on the little ones, but it seems as though we have to keep an eye on all of our nation's children at this point, because that practice with using a lighter and these spray cans and other accelerants is a dangerous practice. I actually saw one where the youngster squeezed whatever accelerant is out of the can into his mouth, and then he used the lighter and spit it out, and this whole fireball. And it is an extremely dangerous practice. I repeat it over and over because it is that serious. We need to stop it. I would like to, any youngsters who are listening to the program, who know of anyone who's doing it, or any friends who have done it or are thinking about doing it, please desist from doing it. It is an extremely dangerous practice. Parents, be mindful as well that your children, what your children are getting into, because I know they're on vacation. As I said, it's been slightly extended because of the epidemic that we've been faced with, but you need to keep a serious eye on what your children are doing, because that is a dangerous, I repeat it, very dangerous practice.
You're listening to the 311 Radio Show. We all male today, and we're talking fire prevention, taking care of your children while they are on vacation, and looking out for those little things that, as we say, we take for granted, but could become hazards and cause you to lose your valuable possessions, and perhaps even more important, loss of life, which we're trying to avoid. We're home, it's vacation, we're relaxed, we're enjoying ourselves, so every once in a while, we're engaging in, you know, things that would make us happy. So,
well, yes, since we are now, as I said, socially distancing ourselves, you know, we're going to find other ways and means. As a matter of fact, that's going to encourage more tablet and cell phone and laptop use now.
Right.
And obviously that's where we need to be at our high sensitivity as it relates to fire safety now, in the homes as parents and as children, who children can be on vacation and so on. And parents, I encourage you, for the little ones who you know aren't as responsible as yet, you really need to, you know, find someone who can keep them for you safely or whatever the case may be. And for the bigger ones, please be the older siblings. You need to be responsible for your younger siblings and that kind of stuff, because it is everybody's business. Each and every one of us need to play our part. So, you know, maybe we're growing up, the neighborhood raises basically the community. We've moved away from that quite a bit, which is unfortunate, but that's a reality. But we need to be mindful that, you know, this time of the is a vacation time, and the children can be a little more restless because they can't really go out a lot of play. There are not many things going on because of what's going on around the world. And they're going to be bored. They're going to look for things to do. Find ways. This is the time now that the... Because you know what I've always found amusing? And this is a little bit off topic, but it needs to be said. You know, I always hear the older folks say, man, the young people don't know about this. They don't know about that. Have you ever taught them?
Yeah.
And that is what I keep saying. You know, because they say, oh man, you don't know to make this. You don't know about making a school. You don't know to make place. But if you grew up in an era where it was not being done,
correct,
the persons who have the knowledge never taught you. How would you ever know? So we criticize the youngsters don't know this. They don't know because the older folk have never taught us. That's the reality. So use this time to do that. Teach the youngsters some of the things that you did as a child that kept you active, that kept you happy, that, you know, kept you recreation, that made recreation for you at that age. You know, but that's it.
Being conscious of your surroundings, things happening around you. You may see it's been very dry. I know. Thankfully, I haven't heard about that many grass fires recently.
Believe you me, there
are
quite. I hear constantly, water in the four and crew, situation report, fire burning a wide area. Water in the state, situation report, water in the state, fire extinguished. What is it? Negative. Divert to grass fire, and they'd be out the entire day.
We still have it a bit.
So the other thing for us to tell the young ones is, if things get out of control, what do you do? Curtain gets caught in the fire, somebody left the oven on, and you know, it's, the gas is escaping. What do you do in situations like that? Because one of the things I think I've heard you say before, and I hope you say again, is that there's certain fires that water will not put out. So, you know, if you have this happening, what do you do? What do we tell them so that they don't make the wrong decision?
First of all, the two things. I heard you say, when you have children and something happens. I would like to think that if a child is too young to be able to use a fire extinguisher, well, not that they're too young, but they may not be ideal for a child at 4 or 5 years old to have to use a fire extinguisher. I would like to think that they have adult supervision at all times. You know, I would hate to know that a parent is going to work or wherever and leaving a child who's 3, 4, 5 years old in a house by themselves.
We know when that happens because we get a call.
Right. But I'm hoping that lessons are totally eliminated for this current vacation, right? Therefore, I would assume that an adult would be in some way responsible to either trying to do an initial knockdown of that fire, which is by the use of an extinguisher, which I remind persons, fire extinguishers are only to be used on small fires. So if you come into a room and the room is well alight, call 311, get out of the environment, and that's your thing. Also, let me just say it again. It was said here about 2 weeks ago, but I just want to remind people, even if you get into a situation that you believe you can get it under control with the extinguisher, always raise the alarm. We always talk, those who would have done fire safety training at the academy would always hear, raise the alarm. Raising the alarm means using the oldest alarm system in the world, your voice. Fire, you shout out so that your neighbor, somebody around you hears fire, and you instruct somebody
to react.
Call 311 while you are doing your initial trying to knock down the fire. Oftentimes, we try to knock it down. 10 minutes later, we realize this out of the hand. And then we remember, oh, there are people who are trying to do this. And then we call the fire service. And then somebody says, they took 10 minutes to get here. They took 10 minutes because you took 8 minutes
to
extinguish the fire before you call. You understand? These are things that is reality. You know, and, you know, we need people to be more aware, as you say, as the surroundings and what's going on. Now, as I said, that's for the little ones. You should have an adult home. For the bigger ones, again, same thing really applies, because the fire extinguisher for small fires, so if you find that you cannot get the fire extinguished, somebody should have called 311. Make sure that you, and it's not a case where you beg somebody to call. Mm-hmm. You, when you're in a dire situation, you, sir, you, ma'am, call 311. You be assertive.
Yep.
You have to, because you got to demand it. You need to. It is serious. It's not a case where you're trying to out the fire. You are saying,
please, sir, help me.
Go and call 311. You always make sure you have that. Yeah. That kind of thing happening.
Which brings me back to what you were saying earlier about children getting bored and restless.
Mm-hmm.
I will see my siblings or they playing their games and get up. I'm so bored. But how? How? So in times like that, I would encourage all listeners, exit drills in the home. Edith, exit drills in the home. Mm-hmm. Know that everything's going on with the coronavirus and most persons will be home. Use the opportunity at least once a month to practice escaping from your home.
You are reading my mind, because I was about to ask. I got to watch your dangerous fire off. Prevention ahead. I was about to ask you. Today, when we're so conscious of our safety,
mm-hmm.
we have wrought iron, we have this locked, we have double doors, and there are times that people, especially when they use that word panic.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Can't find keys, don't know how to get this. And a lot of people are trapped in their homes.
They may even have the keys and can't even get
the lock because they're nervous.
Panic.
Yeah.
So, exit strategy.
So, exit drills in the home, mm-hmm. Edith.
Mm-hmm.
What you'll do is, I guess initially you could start with, you have the children blindfolded.
Right.
And you say, in the event of a fire and the room is filled with smoke and you cannot see your way out,
mm-hmm.
how would you get out? And you observe them trying to get out of the building. You make your points, and then you could correct them after.
Right.
You could even show them, give them a demonstration as to if your room is filled with smoke, mm-hmm. the first thing you do is you get low, you fall and crawl,
right.
find your way to the nearest wall.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to the wall, all walls must lead to a door.
At some point, follow the wall.
Follow the wall, and you will get to the door. Once you reach the door, you never grab the doorknob. Use the back of your hand to touch the knob. Practice this. To
see if it's hot.
Because once you use the back of your hand and you touch it and it's hot, reflexes is you will pull away,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Once you realize that it's not hot, you open, you follow the wall, and you find your way out. You do that blindfolded, you practice this month. The next month, you decide, all right, I can do it unannounced. The children there playing the games, maybe they're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Sound the alarm, fire, fire, fire. Or if you have this small alarm, which should be tested. Use it as a testing. Test it.
Mm-hmm.
Watch everybody get out and see how they operate in those conditions. Watch them try to get out of the building. And that's these things that you could do. It'd be fun for your children, but it'd be practice for them so that in the event that something does happen, they know
what to do.
Instinct.
And in addition to what Sobers is saying as well, you want to have
sober sir.
Yeah.
Right, get it right, get
definitely,
it right.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
And in addition to that, is all getting outside is one thing, but then you have an assembly point.
A point.
So you say, well, okay, when you get out of the house, mm-hmm. in the event of an emergency, we're meeting at auntie, whatever, you meet him wherever, mm-hmm. meet across the road, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But you as the adult will have a safe meeting place for your children in the event. Because if it happens at 2 a.m, everybody's sleeping in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
They're younger, chances are they're going to get out before you.
Right.
But once they know where is the designated area,
you will all be together.
They should all meet there.
Right, because then you have the case of saying, we can't see this person, let's go back and check.
And that's a no-no.
We'll never, ever, ever go back and check.
No, go back
you'll
and check.
Take note of who's missing. So when your fire service
arrives,
you will tell the person, well, this person is missing. They would normally be found in this area, so they will know exactly where to start looking.
Correct.
And this assembly point, just make sure that it's upwind, so that the direction the wind is flowing, so that you will not be in the direction the smoke and all of the chemicals and everything else hazardous is flowing.
One of the things that this coronavirus has done is it has caused people to rush to supermarkets and buy everything they can possibly put their hands on. So we have houses now that are mini warehouses.
That's an interesting point.
Oh, I'm glad.
No, it's an interesting point. It's a very interesting point.
So we now have to rethink a whole lot of things. Where do we have chemicals stored? How much cleaning equipment we have? How much cleaning things we have? Where do we have it? Do we have anything next to each other? that could be dangerous. Guys, come on. How many paper is not
going to
put it out.
Exactly. How many bills of toilet paper do we have that can burn?
Toilet paper is not going to put it out.
Fuel for
cause more.
Fuel for the fire.
Exactly.
It's going to cause more fire. But is this something that we need to pay particular attention to now, especially? Because as you say, idle hands. People will be, you know, things will be stored in places that we don't usually have them.
Yeah, these are things, what you're speaking about is something that even in a normal day-to-day practices, you want to have your chemicals stored somewhere, not in the midst of, we call every other thing that's happening in the house, not around in a hot environment, close to the stove, nothing like that. You don't want to have those chemicals. And also you have to be mindful. This would be more the persons who do the house cleaning, mm-hmm. about the things you mix, because last week, I think I remember seeing a post, I cannot remember where they were telling you not to mix, and they were telling you what not to mix, and it causes this. So there are many of those chemicals. You try not to do a lot of mixing of them. Bleach is one of those things that you don't mix
the
most things.
The more you mix it, the better it turns.
The faster it kills as well. So, and the more dangerous, because sometimes, if you're not a person who, you know about chemicals and stuff like that, you're going to make something that could be toxic to yourself and to everyone around you. Mm-hmm. And it can definitely be a problem.
I wanted to ask two questions completely off of what we were talking about, but because again of the peculiar circumstances that we're in, mm-hmm. there are lots of cruise ships berthed out in the.
We have
a fire boat in Barbados.
No, there's no fire boat. We have a.
We have a barge that can take us.
We have a dinghy. We have a dinghy that we use if you're maybe for water safety, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the Barbados Coast Guard, have equipment that they could.
As a matter of fact, they're usually most things that happen on that side of the world,
That crossed my mind. The other thing that crossed my mind is that a lot of people who listen to the 311 radio show, and thank you for listening, sometimes because of the spontaneity and the joy, believe that you're live in the studio. So WhatsApp messages come flying in on Sunday afternoons. So one of the things the person says, why don't you report and charge the people who block your fire trucks rather than, pleading with them to move.
Well, this sounds like a program from, I think, about 2 weeks ago. I think it was this
correct.
Program. Yeah, that, because about 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about that.
That was last week.
I can't remember.
I was going to reply to the person and tell them if they stop the charge, the person they'll be late getting to the fire. But I decided.
I think we did allude to that in a way, because we did say we would get the number and pass it on.
But you have to keep going. I think the important thing, you made the point just now about getting there as quickly as possible.
Correct.
I think what we need to understand is immediate response is what makes it, cuts down the hazard. So, step number one, if there is a fire, somebody. And a particular somebody is ordered to call 311. Right.
If you are not doing anything, mm-hmm. nobody should even, like, if you see something happening, and if CS Sobers, for example, has the extinguisher, trying to extinguish, mm-hmm. he shouldn't even have to say to you, call 311. Because he's trying his best to out your job now. Doing anything here, let me call 311.
Okay.
While making your way out of the building, of course.
Now, when they call, what are some of the things that they need to see quickly and upfront, and rather than say, hello, you hear me? And you try to figure out, where is this fire?
Actually, I would tell you before I answer your question, I would give you a scenario that I would see yesterday that we're already in the control room. And I'm pretty sure a lot of officers who work in the control room can attest to this here. We got a person to come.
Right.
And he's like,
and they got?
So basically, So come down, try come down. Bruh. In my mind, now I know there's a house fire. I don't know where it is. I guess eventually, when they catch themselves, they will call back. I'm like, ma'am. Because sometimes you as the control room attendant, have to
calm them down.
Yeah. So that they're speaking to you and you cannot understand what they're saying. So these are the type of things that we're faced with. That is why it is important to. I know it's a tense situation, mm-hmm. but you've got to calm yourself as much as possible, because the relevant information that you're going to need to give the control room attendant, mm-hmm. obviously, is your name. And the name, let me say now that the name is not for anybody to
lock you up
and all of that. The name is because if I will carry on and explain. Mm-hmm. You got your name, mm-hmm. the telephone number,
right?
your address, or well, the address of what is burning, mm-hmm. and what it is that is burning.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I need to know if I'm going into a chemical situation. Right. I need to know if it's a house fire, if it's a grass fire, a car, whatever. Because everything has different.
Exactly.
Okay.
All these things have different, you know, aspects. And as a firefighter, the job doesn't start when you get off that truck. You hear, well, okay, we got a person in a well. Immediately, certain things start to go off in your head as a firefighter. Yeah.
Correct.
You know what type of equipment you may need as soon as you get out of that truck. So you start to play it out in your head while on your
way to the
situation.
How are you going to handle it, guys?
So it is important for the caller to give such information. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people want to, why you got to give my name? And why you need my number? But we don't, contrary to popular belief, we don't know everywhere in Barbados.
Only postman.
Me personally,
take one with you.
Me personally, I don't know everywhere in Barbados. A lot of places in Barbados, I don't know, especially by name. So, you know, sometimes you may have to call back that caller and get some clarity from them while the truck is on the road. Because we're going to take the information, we're going to send the truck, and the truck is on its way. But on the way, they felt so, but I'm in the area, I'm not seeing any fire. Can you thing the caller and see if he, so then you call back and ask for the same person who would have left the name and so on, just to get some clarity. So everything has its importance, even though it may seem like a lot or too much when you're making that emergency call. This goes for accidents as well. And the more information you can give to the control room attendant, the more it can help yourself, and it can help the guys who are coming to the scene.
Exactly.
And if you guys watch a lot of the, well, I don't watch a lot of television, but when I was a little child, I watched 911, Rescue 911, I think it was. And you hear those control room attendants pulling information from the caller, all the details, because the details may seem irrelevant to you, the person who's in the situation, the victim, but to that control room attendant, the responder, those details are very vital to determine how to approach, what to do.
And
it can save some vital minutes on that scene as well. You understand? So, for example, you call and tell me you have a car on fire. I respond to this car on fire, but you didn't say to me the car is in the garage.
Correct.
Because that adds a completely different element now to a normal car burning on the main road. Right. Car on fire in a garage means that
the house is now threatened. Yeah.
So these are completely different dynamic.
And if the garage, as in so many houses, you have gas cylinders right at the back,
there you go,
on the side next to the car.
That goes back to what you were speaking about a couple of minutes ago as it related to the chemicals, the storage of your chemicals. Where you store them is very important because you don't want to have them near your gas bottle.
A lot of people don't like people to see gas bottles, so they put it in the garage.
They don't want the persons coming at the house seeing the gas bottle, so they stuff it in the cupboard.
Yeah.
And that cupboard is closed all the time. Yeah. Again, that's another dangerous practice that we always tell people that's a no-no.
Final words for those at home taking care of the children and relaxing for the next few weeks and practicing social distancing.
Right. Well, final words, as you said, Dennis. Just I want to remind again our parents, adults in general, and our young people, please desist from using those lighters with the accelerants that I'm seeing the videos circulating. Just want to, you know, keep that in your all brains for the entire week and for the entire duration of this vacation. Please desist from doing it. A very dangerous practice that I saw, as I said, early in the program. At this point, I also would like to shout out to Natasha. She wasn't with us this week. She's not well. She's on sick leave. And I would just want to wish you a speedy recovery. She should be back with us very soon. And I just want to say hello and good afternoon to you, Natasha. And hi, Zion, as well, because Zion obviously wouldn't let me live this down if I didn't say hello to her. So hello to Diane, hello to Natasha. Hope you guys enjoy your Sunday afternoon. And that's it for me in terms of my final words, Dennis.
Well, I want to thank you both for being a part of the 311 radio show today. And I hope those of you listening at home realize that while we smile and this is for us, a time to engage and ask what may sound to you to be silly questions. Somewhere along the line, I hope you get a gem, a little pearl that you can keep. And the one that the fire prevention and life safety, let me call them fire and life safety officers, always say in unison at the end is, let me see if I get it right with the All Male Choir.
Fire prevention is our intention. Oh, he's got it.
Yeah, we could get the temptation somehow.
Definitely.
Have a good afternoon, all.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.